Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Open Observability Talks. I'm your host, Dotan Horvitz, and here at Open Observability Talks, we talk about anything DevOps, observability, and open source. So may the open source be with you. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Logs.io, the cloud-native observability platform. Logs.io takes the best-of-breed open source projects such as Prometheus, OpenSearch, and Jaeger, and offers them as a unified observability platform built for scale. For those joining the live stream on YouTube or Twitch, feel free to share questions and comments on the live chat to make things more interesting for us here. And with that, let's move on to today's episode. Last week, 28th, 29th of September, 23, there was PromCon, the flagship yearly event of the Prometheus community and ecosystem. We heard some cool updates from the Prometheus ecosystem. And for this episode, I invited Augustin Husson, a Prometheus maintainer who will walk us through these updates and interesting bits from the hallway track as well and the convos around the conference. Augustin can also share with us a sneak peek from the dev day that took place after PromCon, where the maintainers gathered to make the most important decisions on the strategy and roadmap. Augustin is also the creator of Percy's project, which was a big part of this year's PromCon. Augustin will give us an intro to this fascinating metrics visualization tool with the promises of GitOps, dashboard as code, Kubernetes native, and more. So I'd like to invite Augustin to the stream with me. Hey, Augustin, good morning.
Hi, Dotan. Good morning.
Yeah, where are you joining us from?
It was a long journey. It was a long journey. I started in Amadeus 6 years ago now, and I was hired to create a new monitoring platform because while Amadeus needed something fresher, much more powerful, because maybe as you know, Amadeus is behind. It's a background behind every plan that is flying, every ticket you want to buy. Amadeus is there. So
yeah, maybe the audience doesn't know, but all the travel agents are well familiar with Amadeus, your employer, yeah. And a big vendor in the travel tech industry.
Yeah, if you want to know how much Amadeus is important for the flying company, basically, if Amadeus is shutting down, no plan can fly. So that's something that should not happen because you will have so much trouble. So we need a huge monitoring platform, really up to date. And that's how I started in the company. And since far, we grew up, and we are able to store billions of time series today. So we are a huge consumer of Prometheus, Thanos, and Grafana, of course. And that's how we are able to foresee some use case that most companies cannot see because they don't need it, basically. But we need it. For example, it started with Thanos because it saved our day. Because without Thanos, it wouldn't be possible to scale as much as we wanted.
Yeah, Thanos, we covered Thanos in some of the past episodes, but for the audience who doesn't know, Thanos is another open source project under the CNCF, the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, that essentially provides a Prometheus-compatible backend that can scale horizontally. But maybe we'll touch about it later. But in general, as you said, the monitoring challenges that Amadeus faces and what you brought on board to actually solve is how to do that at scale. I remember that you also mentioned the thousands of dashboards that you have, the Grafana dashboards, and many other things. So definitely exciting. And we'll touch about that. I think part of this journey is the journey that led you today to the Percy's project, which will be the topic of the second part of the show, the new visualization tool that aims to be part of the standard CNCF stack and definitely the Prometheus go-to. So we'll talk about that. You're the creator, you're the living spirit behind it. But first, let's start with the PromCon. Last week's PromCon was really exciting, and you wearing your Prometheus maintainer hat, and you've been working in the past with Julius Vols, that many people probably know from the Prometheus ecosystem and others. Promlens and others. So you know many of these areas better than most of us. So let's start really. What got your attention on this year's PromCon in Berlin? I unfortunately, by the way, I wasn't able to attend in person. Really sorry, but I did follow on the live stream as much as I could. And by the way, you and your colleague did an amazing job on your talk, which was about.
Thank you. Great job
about that. But let's start with what you found interesting about this year's PromCon.
I think one major thing of this PromCon was really the focus of OpenTelemetry. There was many different talks about OpenTelemetry, and it shows how much people want to use OpenTelemetry now, and not anymore for the traces, of course, for the traces, because it started like that, but also for the metrics, and they want to see Prometheus at the same time as a backend to store OpenTelemetry metrics, and which wasn't the case. Last year, there was, I don't remember exactly what was the major things in the PromCon, but definitely it wasn't OpenTelemetry. It was just started, so we had like one talk or maybe two, but now it's much more. And during the session of the talk, we actually didn't accept every talk, but there was over different talks about OpenTelemetry. So it was really, really something. It shows how much user wants to see that happen.
Yeah, actually, it was amazing to see so many talks and also the level. Like last year, it was more about very introductory and the initials of trying to understand how these two collaborate together. And this year, you really had both end users putting up some sort of attempts to suggest how these two should come together in production and discussions about compatibility in the protocol level and in the domain. So it's really interesting. So.
Yeah, and that's something we will talk later about the Dev Summit, but that shows also that Prometheus need to provide solution, integration, and we can't wait anymore to answer about this question.
I'm putting it here on the Slack channel, on the channel, sorry, for the live stream audience. One post that I did just to highlight before PromCon for people to get their attention about the OTLP receiver experimental support. So if you're on the live stream, check it out. It'll be also on the show notes for the listeners on the podcast. But yeah, many things, both on the OTLP side and the Java client. Do you maybe want to walk us through some of these highlights?
Yeah. I think another thing that was super interesting on my side, it's another topic. So I don't know if you want to talk about OpenTelemetry more.
If you'd have nothing more than maybe just mentioning things that caught my attention personally for at least the Java people, the Java client version 1.0.0
that's true.
Open telemetry metrics and tracing support. So you already can just that you can start implementing that in the instrumentation side. That's one thing that is interesting, at least for the Java folks.
Yes, it was Fabian, I think, that worked on that. And he did an amazing job. You have a full documentation now how you can do it and use OpenTelemetry metrics in the Java client. And by the way, if we have some contributors and are willing to help are really welcome. And just staying.
No. I say that every episode, and you're perfectly right. And we'll probably say that more than once in this episode. But everything that is happening is thanks to the maintainers and contributors. So anyone who actually is passionate and wants to get involved, this is a call for everyone to check out the GitHub repo and see where they can chime in. And definitely on the Java client, this is, we have a large community of Java developers. So it's definitely something of interest for many. One other thing that at least I saw that was interesting, a new Arrow-based OTLP protocol that had very, very impressive promises, at least on the statements there, half the bandwidth, half the CPU cost. I haven't checked it myself, obviously, but the statement sounded very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice to see some benchmark. What you are doing with if you are using only Prometheus natively or OpenTelemetry. It was really nice to see that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So that's on the hotel side. We've been talking about OpenTelemetry extensively on this show. So it's nice to see the synergy between hotel and Prometheus. By the way, in a past episode, I also had Alolita Sharma here on the show, and she was a major driving force for bridging between these two communities, the Prometheus and OpenTelemetry, especially on the schema side and the semantic conventions for metrics. So it's really great to see that getting into the production enabled status. And sorry, you wanted to move on to something interesting that you saw on this year?
Yeah, I really like, even I like a lot of talks, but that one that shows how much it's important today. It's a green IT. That's something quite new. Well, new with big cut, because I mean, it's been a couple of years we are talking about green IT, but that's the first time we can see a talk at the PromCon talking about green IT with Prometheus. How you can see, you can do it. So it's a really interesting use case from my perspective, because also it will help. It can help to try to optimize your code and to say, okay, I'm using too much. It's another approach to say, okay, I'm using too much CPU because I can see it through the consumption of CO2. And it can help and engage people to reduce their CPU and optimize their code. It's interesting to see new use case for sure. We always have some side use case at PromCon, but this one it was really first time, and I really wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting use case, as you said, that there are lots of ways that people use Prometheus for very different use cases. Obviously, the classic IT monitoring, but seeing the green IT, which is related to IT, but more from the carbon emission, carbon dioxide emission, and things like that. That's very very interesting and very relevant to any organizations that need to meet European standard, European Union standards, or otherwise, even for corporate policies, they need to monitor these aspects of their data center.
Yeah, and especially for me as a employee of Amadeus, where we have a data center and we make plan fly, so we did. It's like, and during the talk there was a diagram showing the carbon emission of a data center and the flight, and data center was above. And I was like, yeah, in Amadeus we are on both levels. Nice. Okay, we don't own any flight, but since we are really correlated to it, we really need to have that in mind in Amadeus, which is already a case. It's starting, but. When I saw that, I was a bit laughing in my mind, saying, "Oh yeah, we are good."
Yeah, that's definitely nice. You wanted to mention also something about the Prometheus operator. We have quite a few updates there, which is again for the productization side, being able to run this and install that and manage that post deployment. That's very relevant for many of us.
Yeah, so. On the Prometheus operator, and it was a light talk to talk about some different issues that are not resolved, and it was a huge call for contributors because we really need helps around this area to improve the Prometheus operator. It has a really huge update from my perspective. It was a scrap config. I think it's a new CRD. Scrap config, which allows you for the first time it's allow you for the first time to monitor VM outside of a Kubernetes, which wasn't possible before. Well, it was possible, which is a nightmare to do it, and you didn't want to do it with Prometheus operator basically. And this one enables now so much possibility, and it's also allow Prometheus operator to support now every discovery already supported by Prometheus. And that's why also there was a huge call for contributor, because we have like 20 different discovery in Prometheus. That's a lot. And now it's possible to support everything, well, all discovery in Prometheus operator. That's a huge opportunity for a new contributor to make, well, to start their journey in Prometheus and in Prometheus operator especially.
Yeah, that's nice.
Another thing was also the alert rule sharding. That's something, as a side subject, we are using intensively in Amadeus. And that was the reason we don't use Prometheus operator, because it doesn't support alert rule sharding. Well, I mean, in the time we were doing it, it's starting, but it's not yet finished. And
Can you maybe, before talking about where it stands in the implementation, go take a step back and explain for those who are not familiar what exactly is the challenge that you face in Amadeus and many other users, obviously, that drove this feature?
Sure. So in Amadeus, we have many, many, many different applications that are using a base framework, let's say. So in the framework, they already provide a bunch of metrics. So they are almost all sharing the same metrics, but they are huge consumer of and creator of metrics. So they are the main reason we need to scale to billion time series. So with that in mind, you cannot run one single Prometheus to scrap every application. So that's the first thing, which means we need to create a bunch of Prometheus just to scrap the Prometheus application. And that means also to scale and so on. We don't want to know exactly which application is scraped by Prometheus. So we anonymize, let's say, the Prometheus. And when we provided the way to deploy the alert rule, basically we deployed it in every Prometheus. So that means every Prometheus have the alert rule. So we need to balance them, let's say. And also that means if every Prometheus have the full list of application to scrap, it's impossible. So we need something to balance scrapping on every Prometheus in a good way, and that's where the sharding is coming. The scrap config sharding is the best thing you can do if you want to scale in Prometheus with Thanos, of course, in front, because it will really help to scale the number of Prometheus you want to deploy.
But it's not just the sharding of the scraping itself, it's also on the back end the alerting, right? So it needs to be associated. You need to gather the alert and also... Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we for the alert rule, we did it on the Thanos ruler. And I'm not sure it's open source because I'm pretty sure we implemented internally in Amadeus. Probably we want to provide it to the open source community at some point.
Yeah.
But the alert rule sharding, I think it's not yet. I don't want to say.
Alert rule sharding is still.
I'm not sure it's available in Prometheus. I don't want to say anything wrong, but scrap config sharding, it's for sure in Prometheus. Yeah. Alert rule sharding, I'm not really sure.
Got you. By the way, if we have, I think I saw in the audience here, Julien or anyone else that wants to chime in on the live chat, feel free to write us anything that just to put us, send us corrected for anything that just to make sure that we're, if there's any one of the maintainers here on the live stream. And actually, we talked about the need for alert sharding because of the masses of alerts. I think one of the interesting talks that I saw on PromCon last week was about from, I think it was Shopify, right? About the scale out alerts. Maybe you want to share your insights about that?
Yeah, that was quite funny with a big quote, of course. So showing a user wanted to scale their monitoring platform to billion of time series, and we are okay, let's go. So what did they do? Did they do the same thing than us in Amadeus? And they were facing the same kind of issues. For example, for the silence in Alert Manager, you don't want to provide the Alert Manager instance to everyone, because that means in a single button you can shut down your data center monitoring, which is not super great. So you want to provide a way to do a silence as a service, let's say, which on our side we develop a way to deploy silence, not through CRDs, but with a database, with an UI and so on. And the same thing for the alert rule, because if you want to scale the alert rule at the beginning, when we started the Prometheus the monitoring platform, we had one single repository, and inside the repository we contain all alert rules for every application. So our journey was just merge every pull request coming from every application. So it was impossible to continue like that. So we created a platform.
Monorepo. The horrors of monorepo. Huh?
Yeah, a monorepo, it can be a thing, but only if let's say, the politic in the company and you have the tools for that. And it's not the case in Amadeus. So we developed an application to store the alert rule of every application and to deploy it across all Prometheus we have. And that's more or less the same thing that Shopify. So that's, and we were wondering at some point if we should open source our platform.
One thing is important to clarify: your solution is not based on Alert Manager, right? It's homegrown solution. It's also an alternative to Alert Manager, just for the audience to understand.
It's using Alert Manager because we don't want to have a fork, let's say, of Alert Manager. We want to keep it, but we are deploying silence. We are modifying the configuration of Alert Manager at the runtime. And gotcha. with special access, you will have a UI basically where you click, you say, okay, I want to create a new silence, and you want to deploy it on a special cluster, and you say, okay, I want to have it there, and hop, it's deployed, and then your alerts are silent just like. But you don't see, the user are not seeing Alert Manager anymore. We are seeing it because we own the platform.
Yeah.
And that's showing that at the PromCon. But now we are thinking about open sourcing our thing, but we need to simplify it because it would be too complicated to install, to deploy. maybe that would be another tool to open source from Amadeus,
and maybe an opportunity to collaborate with Shopify, which according to their talk was scaling out alerting. Sounds like they're sharing the same pain and trying to face the same challenge, and it is very well needed. Like when we talk about running Prometheus at scale in production grade environments, certainly enterprise grade ones, the ability to have granular control on silencing alerts and so on, that maybe is correlated with the RBAC rules and the roles and teams and definitions, is definitely something that it makes sense for a lot of organization this scale. So that was interesting.
It's quite complicated to open source because usually it's quite tight about how your company is working, the different organization you might have. So it's not super easy.
Yeah.
It requires a lot of work to do it. But it can be interesting, but it's really hard.
And there was also the thing that I saw about the Windows exporter. I know that some of the, at least the Windows users amongst the audience were looking for that. It's been delayed for a bit of time due to licensing and things like that. But now in final stages, an official exporter. I don't know if you're familiar with this site and you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I'm not super familiar. I know we are using also, we are using it because we have some Windows machine somewhere in the data center, but otherwise, no, I was not super familiar with that. I'm quite happy it's now an official exporter because it was a long time. It was a long journey for them, and now it's ready on the stage. It's super great for the contributor that were able to do it.
Yeah, and anything before going to the outside of the talks, the formal talks, was there anything else that got your attention amongst the announcements at PromCon or end user talks that are relevant?
Well, we talk about Perseus, of course, but that will be for later. Now, usually when they... Well, it's not necessarily at the PromCon, but it's more a large comment. Usually people are happy with Prometheus and they say, we are happy with Prometheus, it works, and we can forget about it with Bigquote because it works, it's super easy to upgrade, and that's really nice to hear.
Nice. I should mention, I see comments here from the audience. We have actually Julien Pivotto from the team. He said that the Windows exporter has a very long history and a very is very appreciated, and he's looking forward to see the difference in the vision it can bring in the Prometheus ecosystem as well. I will put, by the way, a link here for the audience for the episode where I had actually Julien here on the show sharing Prometheus ecosystem updates about, I think, after the last year's PromCon. Lots of this, including the Windows exporter and the journey, was shared there in great detail. So do check it out. It's a fascinating episode, and definitely looking forward to hearing more. And one more thing that I did want to mention in this regard is that beyond the talks, there's always the hallway tracks, you know, the unofficial chit-chat. I was wondering if anything caught your attention on the hallway track chats. Many of the at least for me, when I go to the conferences, many of the more interesting things happen when I catch someone for a...
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes I was outside of the torch, so I didn't see everything, but hopefully it was a record, so I can see everything now. Something that was interesting was some user came to me to ask if they are able to contribute to the UI, which is a topic that I'm super interested into. Also because I did a quick announcement about the Alert Manager UI that we are restarting from scratch the Alert Manager UI because it's using ELM, which is not super great to build UI. Well, I mean, not many people understand how it works, so we decided to restart it with React. And some users were coming to say, hey, maybe we can help around that, because it was really nice, because usually UI is quite a side subject in Prometheus ecosystem. Everyone wants to know a nice UI, but not everyone. It's just Julius and I, basically, on the UI ecosystem. On the UI side. So hopefully this week or next week, I don't know, a UX designer should contact, maybe will contact me to talk about that. And after the PromCon, there was some user that wanted to contribute to Alert Manager UI. So we need to figure out if we need to do a work session, or we just created a bunch of issues saying, okay, we want that, you can contribute there. So that's really nice, because that means we will be able to have help on that. And
amazing. The UI is always, because most of the maintainers are backend. It's not just because they're bad intentions, just most of them are backend, and having more people working hands on the front end and UI. That's amazing. So that great news about the new Alert Manager UI coming. That's great news to share.
Yeah, and also we will talk just after that about the Dev Summit, but there was also another topic to have contributors on the AI side, so I was really glad to hear people are really interested into that and they want to work with us.
Yeah, and actually on the show with Julien, when we covered updates on Prometheus, that's already a done deal, obviously. But the addition of PromLens by Julius Voltz was, again, another very important, powerful UI that simplified a query building for users. So another example of where a powerful UI can drastically simplify the user experience. PromQL is not the most intuitive language, so if you have a visual builder, that's amazing. But you mentioned the Dev Day, so just for those who don't know, Dev Day is the day after the conference, Saturday in this case, where the maintainers get together, and as I said in the intro, in the beginning of the episode, where the important decisions, strategy, plan, roadmap are being made. So let's go on to the things that people didn't hear at PromCon, and you can share from the Dev Day some exciting news there.
Yeah, we have really exciting news to share. So I think the major one is we want to release a major version of Prometheus, so 3.0. It's Woo! Been a while. We are really happy
Prometheus 3.0, finally.
Finally, yeah, it's been a couple of years we are talking about that, dreaming about it, and now it will happen. And so we were wondering, okay, but are we going to break all the thing or not? And actually, no, because we don't want to create another story like Python between 2 and 3. So no, we want to keep our user and make them upgrade to Prometheus 3.0. So there will not be any breaking change. We still want to, it's still under discussion, but probably we will try to remove some deprecating things. So I'm saying it's under discussion because deprecating things, well, if you remove it, it's a breaking change. So we need to figure out if it will be a pain for user or not. Another thing
beyond the easy migration and backward compatibility, which is something that I know is very, very important for the maintainers of Prometheus, which is a good thing because many of them run in production. What about some major things? So you mentioned the UI. I think this is a significant pillar there. Anything else on the major themes that you are looking to pursue at Prometheus 3.0?
We want a new UI, a new fresh UI where we will integrate PromLens, for example, because that's something already asked for user, and that's something we really want because, I saw Julien saying Prometheus 3 should not break user. Yeah, totally. We won't.
Yeah, if we got that wrong, but definitely. As I said, the backwards compatibility is a prime concern. So, and it has been traditionally. So, it's been misinterpreted, definitely no backwards compatibility. And even the deprecated stuff, as you said, you're being very cautious about removing deprecated stuff in case some people still use deprecated stuff. But, that's a good point by Julien here. So you're starting to share some more of the big thing?
For the UI, so on the UI side, it's more easy to say, okay, let's remove everything and start from scratch. But that means we still need the same amount of functionality. But on top of everything existing already on Prometheus, we want to integrate PromLens because it's super powerful and it really helps to understand and to debug your PromQL query. Also because Julius also prepared some new update on PromLens and I saw it, it's about binary operator and it's really amazing. So I'm quite excited to see it online soon. I don't know yet when we are going to release a new PromLens version, but let's see. What we want also a new redesign of the alert. At least on my side, I want a new redesign of the alert because just because for one thing, when you saw the alert rule list, the PromQL expression is not highlight. You don't have the same color than in the PromQL console, and it's just
yeah.
Well, yeah, we have so many higher where we can do something better, just to have finally something really great for Prometheus, because as a side note, we really depend on Grafana or external graphical tool, and it's quite annoying that Prometheus is not able to provide their own UI to display any data inside. And well, if we are going to upgrade, that's an oversized subject, but if we are going to upgrade the UI of Prometheus, that means, at least as a personal user of Thanos, I want the same thing in Thanos. Yeah. So it's a huge rework, but we will start for Prometheus for sure. And that's where I was super happy to hear that some contributors want to help on the new Prometheus UI. That means we can increase the number of things we can do for the new major version. And I, by the way, we want to release it for KubeCon and for the keynote. So that will be a huge announcement.
Amazing. So Prometheus 3.0 will definitely catch some titles at KubeCon in Paris. So a great
that
thing to
be,
have if they can converge on the timeline.
That will be super great.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned before also, obviously, the native support for OpenTelemetry is going to be a major theme for the Prometheus 3.0, right?
Yeah, so that just means it will be activated by default, because if I'm not wrong today, if you want to have it, you need to activate the feature flags. So that means you need to activate it in knowing that maybe something doesn't work exactly what you would like. But now, that would be a huge message for the community that now the native system are stable, is stable, and you can use it like anything else already stable in Prometheus.
And as we mentioned, obviously the client libraries will support exporting OTel protocol metrics. We started seeing it, as I said, mentioned before, with the Java SDK and everything, but to maintain it, I think that the mission statement is that the Prometheus community will maintain the Prometheus SDKs as an opinionated and efficient way to do custom metrics, right?
Yeah, totally. We have a huge message for the OpenTelemetry community. We want to be the default backend to store the OpenTelemetry metrics, which wasn't the case before, because we were like, OpenTelemetry is not something compatible to Prometheus. So now Prometheus we want to be the default backend to store OpenTelemetry metrics. So that should ease the journey of users that are willing to use only OpenTelemetry and not anything else.
So definitely
simplify the life of people.
Definitely simplify the life of many of them. I want to move on to Perseus, which is also a major part, a big part of PromCon. But before that, was there anything else that you wanted to summarize from the Dev Day or from PromCon?
No, I think we are good. Just a side thing for the native histogram. It will be activated by default, but that doesn't mean we will remove the classic histogram. That won't happen because it's widely used. So it's maybe in later.
Yeah. So that about native histograms, we talked in the past also with Julien. So the audience should be familiar. If not, by the way, again, I'm forwarding you to the episode with about the Prometheus updates from the last one, but a very important addition to the Prometheus ecosystem, to Prometheus native histograms, was a big deal. And obviously now having it the default and not feature flagged or anything else. One thing that maybe we can talk, propose the UI, is the fact that okay, it's fine that you have Prometheus supporting native histograms, but is the support a bit tightly coupled with a specific way of visualizing in Grafana, or is it something that is generically consumed by different backends?
Yeah, that's true. If you want a nice visualization of the native histogram, you have to go on Grafana. So that's something we would like to tackle in the new UI. I don't know if it's realistic, but we will try as much as possible. Just because that the UI needs to display every possible things available in Prometheus, and as an open source project, you don't want to depend on an external product. Ever if it's Perseus on or Grafana, I don't take any sign here. It's not correct that you depend on an external tool.
Yeah, whatever. And definitely the things that leaned very tightly into Grafana, which made a bit more difficult to consume maybe on other backends, which leads us very nicely to Perseus. Well, that was one of the most fascinating talks at PromCon, and I'm sure that you got lots of feedback afterwards. But going back to the origins of Perseus, so you mentioned briefly at the beginning that your Amadeus journey led to you're heavy users of Grafana. You had some challenges that led you to Perseus. Do you want to summarize this experience of what were the challenges that led you to reinvent the wheel? You probably hear this question a lot. Why did you decide to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, that's usually the main question. Why are you doing that? Grafana is great, and it is great. I cannot disagree with that. It's super great. It's a powerful tool. Just when we continue our journey in Amadeus, and the platform was using more and more, well, at some point we had like 5,000 dashboards in Grafana, which is huge. But you have to know that, okay, you have 5,000 dashboards, but how much are working? Some are just some people are just trying and they store it in Grafana, but actually when you go on that, it doesn't work anymore because it didn't follow any update of Grafana or how we update the platform, everything. Yeah, you have a lot of issue like that. And
usually Grafana updates tend to change the JSON schema, and it's not uncommon, let's put it this way.
yeah, but usually the upgrading Grafana is not super painful, but you still need to verify that your dashboard is still working. If you are really tied to the you need to check, and a way to check to make sure that everything is up to date is to go with dashboard as code. And dashboard as code also allow you to scale the number of dashboards. Also because it's a good way when you have a on call, you have a huge incident, and you want to build a specific dashboard for the incident. Dashboard as code will allow you that, because in really quickly you can say, okay, I want this panel, yep. Everything is merged, and boom, you have a dashboard. And but otherwise, without that, it's not possible to do that. But the problem with dashboard as code with Grafana is it's super hard to do it. You have to use JSONet. I don't have anything against JSONet, but you have to learn it. Then the data model of Grafana is not made for dashboard as code. I'm sorry, but I have to say it. It's not made for, and it's super hard to understand. You have to try and try and try. Basically, what some developers were doing, they were changing in the UI a dashboard to see how the data model were changing. So we basically say, okay, we have a huge problem, and that means also every time Grafana is changing their data model, we need to change the library also, because we build some internal library to make it possible. And we started to think about maybe we can do something better. Maybe we can, let's say, crazy thing. Why not deploying dashboard through a CR, a customer resource in Kubernetes? So that would mean you are able to, with the application, at the same time as the application, deploying your dashboard in the same namespace, which means in your namespace, you have the application and the way to monitor your application. And so, yeah, we started learning and say, okay, we could do something. And really GitOps oriented, which means we don't really care about the UI with Bcode, because at some point you have to really take care of that. But let's be on the data model side. How, if I want to modify only the JSON without any UI, I need something understandable. I need some proper key that means something. I need some external libraries that enables that. And yeah, we started like that. We did a first version, really a 0.1.0. And Julius was quite aware about that. And he told me that we were not alone in this way. And actually, there was a group, a working group, talking about that, doing the same thing, thinking about the other feature. Like, for example, as another side, we want something to learn PromQL because it's super hard to learn. And we would like, I don't know, something like you have in video games. At the beginning of the games, you have a live tutorial. It say, okay, if you want to go on this situation, you have to type on the keyboard. That will be the same for PromQL. If you want something like, we could think about crazy things, a live training, let's say.
Yeah. And you mentioned the fact that it's not only your challenge. I think one of the best ways to show it is CoreDash, that was established under the CNCF to actually formalize this very need. Not to mention the licensing thing, once Grafana was moved from Apache 2 to AGPL, which made it a bit more challenging for the CNCF community and other open source projects to consume it. So I guess you connected to a larger problem space and already established, I guess, a foundational need, right?
Yeah. So that's exactly like you mentioned. We joined a working group under the CNCF umbrella. And well, I said, yeah, we already started something with Perseus. So anyone that were willing to join and help us, we can work together. It's totally open. We want to provide it to CNCF. Okay, it belongs to Amadeus yet, but I mean, it's possible to move it to CNCF. Amadeus is totally okay with that. And so Chronosphere wanted to help, and we restarted from scratch, let's say, what I did, but the idea was kept. It just, for example, I started with Angular because I was more familiar with that, and Chronosphere was not super agree with that. They wanted to do it in React, and I would say, yeah, okay, let's do it. And it makes sense actually to do it in React, because also, as a Prometheus team member, if you are looking on the Promlens, on Prometheus, on Thanos, probably Cortex also, every single UI want to show, for example, a line chart. So as a Prometheus team member that wants to simplify my life to maintain these things, if we have a tool that are specialized in metrics visualization, we could provide the package to display it. And that was another big topic I wanted to do. And Chronosphere was super agree. And yeah, we really started like that. So Perseus is not just another tool that will display your metrics. It's also a package provider. And So you can embed Perseus in your own UI and to display your metrics.
Actually, one of the things that I know that the demo didn't work last week on PromCon, but one of the important things you mentioned, Chronosphere was a very important founding member in addition to Amadeus. The other is Red Hat, another very important player. And you wanted there on stage to demo how it's embedded also within OpenShift. I know it didn't work, but the fact that I think it's an amazing example of how this can be served not just as a standalone tool, but also embedded natively within platforms such as OpenShift. Do you want to say something about this embedding capabilities?
Yeah, I was a bit sad to change my laptop. So yeah, I was like, I can't show you the video. It was really, I mean, when Red Hat sent me the video, I was like, okay, we are talking about something new. That's awesome. I want to show it to everyone. But unfortunately, yeah, I wasn't able to do it. But that's really happening. That's something also Red Hat show it was possible to, it was the fact you don't need to have the same component library than Perseus. We are using React MUI, so Material UI, for the component library. But it doesn't match with the OpenShift console. It doesn't have the same display, the same feeling. So they were able to override that. Hopefully we will be able to document how to do it once they will share their experience.
So both Red Hat and Chronosphere today embed it within their own bigger platform, not as a standalone tool, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Chronosphere, it was easier because while they built it, so it was embedded at each release they did it. Probably the next one will be Prometheus during the development of the new UI. That will be an opportunity. It's already under discussion, but maybe it will happen. That will be great. Not necessarily because I want to push Perseus in Prometheus, but also because I want to simplify it, because it will just integrate the land chart. So it's just a couple of lines of code and boom, it's over. And also in Amadeus, we are currently embedding Perseus. So that's Celian Garcia, one of the contributors of Perseus, that is doing it, which is great, but because that means soon we will be able to document how to document how to do it with step by step.
Nice. Maybe you can also white label it, right? So when I embed it within a platform, I can also somehow white label, make sure that it aligns with the visual language, the logos and everything of the hosting platform.
I didn't get the question, sorry.
I'm saying when you embed, can you white label? Usually it comes with certain visual logos and things like that, but embed it, you usually want to use other
So actually you can embed at embedding Perseus can mean different things. You have different level of embedding Perseus. You can just embed the land chart. You don't need to embed everything. Then you can, at upper level, you embed the dashboard. So the page we showed during the demo at the PromCon. And the application itself with the logo, the navbar, it's the first embedding. Well, it's the first integration of Perseus, actually, because we just took the different package provided by Perseus. So it's
npm packages, right?
It's npm package, totally.
Yeah.
Nice. If you want to embed the terms of
Grafana, just for the audience who's familiar. So from the level of an individual panel, you can embed and all the way up to dashboards and so on, just to make it equivalent to what people know.
Exactly. You can embed the panel or the dashboard globally, depending of what you want. to do. And we want to keep this granularity because as a open source Prometheus matter, I still want to change the concept.
Yeah. So let's go into the announcement that you had last week at PromCon. What is, for those who are now interested and they say, hey, that sounds fascinating, I want to download and start using it, what is the scope of the current release announcement?
So it was, the announcement was we finished every primary features. So we are ready to receive feedback. We are sure about our architecture, but yeah, maybe before saying okay, now it's stable, we won't break anymore any things. We still want to have feedbacks from external users about what they think about it, what we are missing, and so on. So yeah, we are hoping that people are enough interesting by the project to try it. I won't recommend to use it in production yet. It will come, but I wouldn't recommend it today. As a side subject about the production part, we are deploying Perseus in Amadeus as a sandbox, so to let Amadeus user trying it and have internal feedback also. But yeah, we are moving in Amadeus, and maybe in 1 year, let's say, we will move it to production.
And what are the primary features that you're proposing in the current release?
So we are supporting only Prometheus for the visualization. So if you need traces, logs, it's not possible today. It will come, but it's not yet available. Of course, if you want to connect Thanos, any backend compatible with the Prometheus API, it's possible. But if you want to connect, for example, Victoria Matrix, it won't work. Maybe some features are working with Victoria Matrix. I don't know their API, but I'm pretty sure it won't work. We are providing project, so it's a kind of a workspace, or the notion is a kind of like the namespace in Kubernetes. So yeah, you have an area where you can create your dashboard. We are providing also global variable and global data source that can be shared across different dashboards, across different projects. You have an overriding system, which means, for example, if you are well connected to Kubernetes, usually you have a variable pods, just like that. And it's quite annoying to create this variable for each dashboard. So now with Perseus, it's possible to create a single variable pods and then use it in every dashboard. So you don't
but
have
maybe
to
let's
define...
start with the basics. You know, if someone wants to try it out, the first question will be, okay, which panel types you're doing? Let's start with the basics.
The
visualization okay. supports
so
in the current release.
You have the land chart to display the time series metrics, the range query. You have the gauge. You have a markdown panel if you want to display some text. And basically, that's it. And that's something also we want when we started to talk about Perseus, internally, we wanted actually something simple. So it's not because we don't want to support a lot of different panels. It's because we want just a tight three different panels. So probably we will integrate more panels, like charts in the future, but we won't support that many. Because that's something it's not we didn't like it in Grafana, but we thought it's too many. And when you are doing just Prometheus display, you don't need that much panels.
That's interesting. And anyway, as you said, the only data source currently supported is Prometheus, but you are looking in the future to expand it to additional data sources.
Right? So the traces, that will be the next thing, and it's entirely the work is entirely on the Red Hat side, which is as a Perseus contributor, it's super interesting because it will be a first major contribution of Red Hat on Perseus.
So distributed tracing natively within visualized within Perseus.
Yeah. Probably it will be Jaeger used as a backend, but we are using Tempo in Amadeus, so we want Tempo also. And for the future, we also want to provide a way to inject a new plugin in Perseus, which is not possible today. Today, if you want a new plugin, you have to rebuild everything. So it's not possible to have a hot reload of the plugin. But that's something that will come, and it's a big enabler for external users that want to create their own panels, and we don't want to support it because, like I said, we just want to support a few limited number of.
So, panels. By plugins, it's very important. So, panels, queries, data sources, variables, like these are the plugin systems.
Exactly. Yeah.
People, right. So for the users, for the listeners to understand what you mean.
Yeah.
By
plugins means data source, variable, query, panels. We have different type of plugins, which is slightly different than Grafana because we wanted also something simpler. When you implement a new plugin, you don't have to implement everything. So we hope it will be easier to create new external plugin.
Yeah. We're about to get into the end of the episode, but I wanted to just mention the highlights on the roadmap. I think one of the big items, also a part of the mission statement, was a Kubernetes native mode. Do you want to say a word about that?
Yeah, so for the Kubernetes native mode, we are starting with a Prometheus operator, which will bring CRDs. So it's not yet started, but it will come. Also, we already started with mChart. So if you want to install Perseus on Kube, you have the mChart for that. It's already available. I think we missed an update, but that's a side subject. I find really interesting to have a discovery of the data source. So instead of configuring a HTTP server to say, okay, it's Prometheus, so you have to enter manually the URL, the basic auth, whatever needed to contact Prometheus, we could have Kubernetes discovery first and maybe over discovery later. I like this idea, and I hope we'll be able to do it. Yeah.
Nice.
It's ongoing. it will come, but
I think by if you really aim to join the cloud native ecosystem and the CNCF, I think this is having it as a first level citizen is very important. And I know that just maybe one word about the foundation. So you're currently under the Linux Foundation. The project is under the Linux Foundation, and you target to join or exploring as a statement to join the CNCF to be alongside Prometheus, right? Do you want to say a word on that part, foundation side?
Yeah, the big question is, are we going to try the incubation mode directly, or we make a less bold move and go on the sandbox. Incubation mode require a lot of things. That will be a big change for us to target that for KubeCon Paris, especially because I will be also on Prometheus 3.0. So I'm not sure. Well, I'm not alone, of course, on Perseus, so not everything is on my shoulder, but I still need to be there. So I don't know. Let's see, I would say. I won't make any promise. But for example, I talk about with other contributors, and they like the idea to go on, depending whatever it means, so on sandbox or... or incubation. So for example, one thing that we are really missing is documentation, and we will make a lot of efforts on this area. And that's
without going into the details of what it requires to move to the CNCF, the mission statement is at least to aim at the CNCF. Is that correct?
We will do it anyway. It's just the date is not yet stated. But yeah, we will do it anyway. We want to do it. And I had some talk with a user at PromCon and by email who was asking, are we really willing to provide a dashboard data model, a standard dashboard data model? And the answer is yes, but to do that, we need to go to the CNCF to be adopted by the community. And then maybe we will be the standard.
And I think that one of the powerful things, I've been talking about open standards and open specifications here at the show for a long time. I think this is one of the promises that I found exciting in PERSIST, not just as a tool, but also as a standard language, standard representation. Similarly to another working group that is now under the CNCF for standardizing on query languages. Yeah. So you don't need to be dependent on the backend in the way that you query is dependent on the backend. Similarly, having a standard language for expressing visualizations that is independent of the tool that is actually going to render it. So I think this is a great promise if we can do that. And the CNCF, maybe wearing my CNCF ambassador hat, I think is a natural place to that, not to mention the fact that Prometheus is under the CNCF. So I really hope that this will be something to of interest, and also it's a definite missing pillar. I think on your talk there last week at PromCon, you showed graphically, you showed the CNCF stack, and you showed there's a Prometheus obviously that takes care of also scraping, and there's a different long-term storage backends, Thanos, Cortex, and so on. And so you see the stack, and then when you get to the visualization, it's missing from the CNCF ecosystem. And you have external projects, like you mentioned, the Grafana and maybe others, but this is external to the CNCF. And we don't have any first-level citizen within the CNCF stack that addresses that. So I think it's definite missing piece of the puzzle. And this is why I think this project is a great promise. If you can deliver, obviously, the burden of proof is on the team and the organizing team, but really exciting to see that. So thanks a lot for sharing all of that with us and for actually driving this project and driving Amadeus to donate it to the open source. So that's really exciting. How can people join the conversation on the community of the PERSIST and maybe reach out to you personally to follow up on the episode?
So we have a live chat on Matrix. The link, I can share the link a bit later, but if you want to find it, it's on the contributor documentation in PERSIST repository. So that can be a way to contact us quite easy, or we have the email PERSIST. It's a Google group email, so PERSIST at Google Groups, something like that. It's also written on the contribution documentation. Or you have the discussion, the discussion on GitHub, or the issues. Probably discussion issue would be more to add, ask for feature or you are facing a bug and you want to share it. Yeah. That would be
sounds good point. And I'm sure that we talked about it also before the show, being also passionate about communities. I think having more channels, like having regular calls with a broader community, and maybe having a Slack channel on the CNCF or similar, that this will enable more people from the community to chime in. But as you said, you're now building out this part of the PERSIST on the community side, so really looking forward to seeing more of that. And I encourage people on our listeners to reach out on these channels and chime in on this conversation. I already posted here for the live stream the GitHub repo for PERSIST, and I'll put everything obviously on the show notes as well for the on demand. Augustine, thank you very much for joining me on this episode and for sharing with us your insights from PromCon and from PERSIST.
Thank you, Dotan, for inviting me. It was really awesome to talk about all these nice features and the news around Prometheus and Perseus.
Yeah, usually I put the news and the updates at the end of the show, but this show was actually mostly about news. And so we don't have news and updates. We have all the episode for that. And thank you, everyone, all the listeners who joined us for this episode. As always, all the episodes are available on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube on demand. So check it out. And if you are listening to it on demand, do know that we stream the episodes live on YouTube and Twitch. So if you want to chime in on the live chat, do check out the dates for the live streams. You can find all the details about the live streams and any other details on Twitter at OpenObserve, and also share your comments, suggestions, news bits, and anything else. Or you can reach out to me at Horovitz, Horovitz. And with that, thank you very much for listening. I'm Dotan Horovitz, and see you on next month's episode. And as always, may the open source be with you.